Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Colin Squires.
Let's get into the word this morning. I believe God wants to speak to us by his Holy Spirit. So we're going to start just by praying. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here, that you've been ministering, you've been speaking already, you've been moving in our hearts, preparing us for this morning. And thank you for the word, that you would quicken it to our hearts. Holy Spirit, if there's anything that's just my words or my ideas, I pray they would fall to the ground. But Jesus, everything that's proceeded from the mouth of God, let it find its mark this morning, let it hit its target, and just revive our hearts to you afresh this morning. Bring us alive in a new way to who you are, your voice, and all that you want to do in us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, Mother Teresa, the Catholic nun who gave her life as a missionary in order to serve the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, she said this: the greatest problem in the world is not actually starvation, it is loneliness. According to campaigntoendloneliness.org, in 2022, 49.63%, that's nearly 30 million people in the UK, reported feeling lonely. In John 14:18, Jesus said that without God, we're like orphans, not physically, of course, but spiritually. That being in God's world without God is like a great cosmic loneliness. It makes me think of, bear with me, Kal-El. That's Clark Kent or Superman's original name for those who aren't DC comic book nerds. And when, as a baby, he was put in a spaceship and flown away from his planet Krypton to escape its explosion and the death of his parents and, in fact, all of his people, he was adrift in the cosmos alone. No parents, no family, no home, no people to call his own. And just in the same way that Martha and Jonathan Kent, this is quite an out there kind of metaphor, isn't it? Found him and loved him. Did you know that the character of Superman was based upon Jesus and was actually written to be the antithesis of the idea of the Nazi Superman? And actually, Superman in the DC Comics was supposed to be this personification of love and purity and justice to say, no, this is what a superhero is like, Jesus. So it's not actually that out there. But anyway, Martha Kent and Jonathan Kent found the baby Superman, not baby Jesus. Don't get them confused. And they loved him, welcomed him, adopted him, and he had a more loving family than he ever could have possibly imagined. And in this similar way, Jesus said of us, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And in this, he was speaking of his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we are never alone. He's the spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption. And it's probably why there's so much confusion about the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he does. Because I believe the enemy doesn't want us to know about him and the relationship we can have both with him and with God through him. Which is probably why there's so much of this confusion, because the enemy wants to keep us separated and distanced from God. And so for a long time in the church, the Holy Spirit has often been ignored. There's been much greater focus on God the Father or God the Son than there has been on God the Holy Spirit. There's been a lot of misconceptions about who he is. In fact, in the King James Version of the Bible, it says, refers to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. And ghost can sound a little bit spooky, a little bit ethereal, a little bit otherworldly and something that might be difficult for us to relate to. In some streams of the church, the Holy Spirit has also been resisted. There are some people a bit nervous of him, or perhaps they think, well, I quite like being in charge and doing things my way. And the idea of surrendering control to some spirit, I'm not sure I'm okay with that. For many of us, the Holy Spirit is often, I think, thought of as some kind of force. Yes, he leads and directs us, but sort of in the same way that magnetic north directs the needle of a compass. Not a person that we relate to. Or perhaps he's some kind of awesome, all-surrounding power that we can draw upon in particularly spiritual moments, a little bit like Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars franchise. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is a wonderful, God-filled atmosphere that we experience during powerful times of encounter or worship, as evidenced by a goosebump or a tingle. And although there are times like this morning where God is moving, the Holy Spirit is so present and we become more aware of his presence, we don't want to ever think that he's simply just a presence. And we could be forgiven for thinking that the Holy Spirit is like a force or some kind of presence, because after all, the Bible does describe him, right, as being like a mighty rushing wind in places, or in other places as fire or streams of water or the breath of God, in one place even as appearing as a dove. And although Holy Spirit is represented by all those things, they sort of picture a bit of his character. He is not solely any one of those things or an amalgamation of them. Though he appears as a dove or as a mighty rushing wind, he is not a dove or a wind, but he is peace and a peace bringer like a dove. He is powerful like a wind, and maybe we can't always see what he's doing, but you can certainly sense it, and you maybe can't take hold of him, but he is not just wind. If our picture of the Holy Spirit is like just simply a force or a power or some kind of being that we can't hope to relate to, then we miss a vital truth. We miss out on a wonderful relationship. And so today we're starting a new series all about the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What does he do? How do I know him? What's he for? What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What's the fruit? How do I relate to him? And so we're going to go on this journey, but by starting to ask the question, who is he? After all, he is not looking just for a visitation, but a habitation. Amen. He doesn't want to just come in a meeting for a moment, but to come and dwell, come and live inside us. Because he is not just a force, he is a person. I think it's important to start then with the understanding that the Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and that's it. No, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are one. Now, we're not going to go into the depths of the really like hard to get your head around sometimes doctrine of the Trinity, but it's important to know the Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father and the Son, co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. And I think it would be easier for us to think of the Holy Spirit almost like a Christian version of Hermes, the messenger of the gods in Greek mythology, where God the Father might be like almighty Zeus upon his throne on Mount Olympus, and the Holy Spirit like Hermes, this messenger flitting about over the earth doing his bidding. But this is not the case. The Nicene Creed was written in 325 AD at the First Council of Nicaea. And it was really this document put together, though it is not in the Bible, it was like this summation of the foundational, fundamental doctrines of the Bible that was written to address heresy in the church. People saying, oh, Jesus, he's not really the Son of God, and things like this. So it took all of these most important teachings of the Bible and put it in just one short agreement that all the church could be based upon. And churches to this day, our fundamental doctrines are based upon the Bible. And we as a church, we would say, yes, the Nicene Creed, this is so important and so helpful. And it says this: we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He is God. He cannot be separated or siphoned off or put in a box over here, separate in some way. He is God. In Hebrews 1:3, Jesus is described as being the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus is, of course, distinct from the Father, and yet is his exact representation. And it's much the same thing with the Holy Spirit. He is distinct from the Father and the Son, and yet he is the Spirit of the Father and the Son. In Matthew 10:20, we read, "For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who's speaking through you." We could also reference Romans 8:10-11, 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, Ephesians 3:14-16, loads of examples. He's also the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of Jesus. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So if you have the Holy Spirit within you, you don't have just some messenger or some force or someone less than the Father or the Son. You have the fullness of God living in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If that's not worthy of a hearty amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I don't know what is. The fullness of God lives in you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. That's us. Come on. But what's his backstory then? If this is Holy Spirit, if he's a person, what's he about? Where's he been throughout the Bible? And so I want to take us to the very first Bible verse in the whole Bible, Genesis 1, chapter 1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the Spirit was there at the beginning, present, hovering over the nothingness of creation, and is the Spirit of creation. From the beginning, he was bringing order out of chaos and something out of nothing. And he still does that in us today. That's sort of his fundamental nature, is bringing this newness. But throughout the rest of the Old Testament, we see that the way the Holy Spirit moves is he always comes upon a particular person at a particular time for a particular task to which he's called them. For example, he comes upon a guy called Bezalel. What a brilliant name. And God chooses him to build the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. And the Holy Spirit comes upon him for like divine inspiration, artistic talent, inspiring crafts and skills that he wouldn't have of his own. And the Holy Spirit still does that in us today. And he comes upon Gideon for leadership. He comes upon Samson for strength and for power. And although he does this often in the Old Testament in a physical way, he still does that in us today in a spiritual way. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to break chains and come out of prison doors, prisons of addiction, prisons of mental turmoil and anguish, of anxiety, of fear. It is the Holy Spirit that breaks us out of those things, who gives us the strength that we need to tackle anything that comes our way. And in the same way as Bezalel had this artistic, creative move of the Holy Spirit upon him, it's the Holy Spirit that infuses our worship or beautiful works of art or writing music. But also it's the Holy Spirit who wants to infuse your day-to-day at your work, whatever you do, to bring you the skills and the gifts that you need to serve God in whatever situation you find yourself. He came upon Isaiah and the prophets to prophesy. And the Holy Spirit came upon David to be king. He came upon Solomon with wisdom and so many others. But it was always a particular person at a particular time for a particular task. But as we go through the rest of the Old Testament, there's this kind of rising sense of anticipation that something new is going to happen. There's something bubbling somewhere in the Spirit. And this new thing is called the promise of the Father. In Ezekiel 36, 26, it says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And so they waited for this promised spirit. They were so excited, but it didn't happen. And they waited hundreds of years. And then suddenly, the birth of Jesus is like this trumpet blast, and everyone surrounding the birth of Jesus gets filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon Mary and she becomes pregnant with Jesus. Then Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth and the Spirit comes upon her too, and the unborn John the Baptist. And of course, at his baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus himself. But that was only the beginning. While Jesus was on earth, he spent most of the 3 years with his disciples between his baptism and his death, training this small group of believers, as well as speaking to larger crowds. But he would only be in one place at one time. He was fully God, but he was also fully man. But Jesus promised that when he'd returned to heaven, he would ask the Father to give his disciples another helper, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He lives with you and will be in you. And so on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon 120 believers in the upper room. And that same day, upon 3,000 of the crowd who had gathered outside. And the Holy Spirit being poured out like that, there would be no limit to what God could do now. No longer one man in one place at one time for one task working through the Spirit, but a multitude. And there would be no limit to where God would begin to advance his kingdom. God was about to go global in the truest sense of the word. But who is he? This Spirit that was going to be moving across from the beginning, hovered over the waters, and now going to be moving across the world, infusing, bringing life, saving, bringing conviction, turning people to repentance. Who is he? What's he like? We need to know the Holy Spirit is a person. He speaks, we see in Acts 8:29. He has a will, 1 Corinthians 12:11. He has emotions, Ephesians 4:30 and 1 Thessalonians 1:6. He has an intellect. He understands, Isaiah 11:2. He loves and he teaches, Romans 15:30, Luke 12:12. Basically, he is the most wonderful person in the world. Amen. I want to ask you the question, how do you or how have you related to the Holy Spirit? Have you ever thought about it? Is he someone that you pray to? Do you spend time with him particularly? Do you spend time with the Father? Yes, maybe. The Son? Yes. What about the Holy Spirit? Do you cultivate that relationship? I remember when I first got saved, I was so just overwhelmed and blown away by this understanding that I had the Spirit of God within me, that I didn't want to stop talking to him. I would spend my lunch times in my college going into the chapel, it was a Catholic college, and spend the first half of lunch praying, talking to the Holy Spirit, saying, show me with a friend and show us who we should go and talk to today. Who should we pray for? And we'd go down the corridors of our college and say, Holy Spirit, do you want me to turn left or right? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want to pray for? I think that person. We'd go and pray and we'd have no idea what we were doing or what we were saying, and it was a bit bumbling and a bit awkward, but we saw God do amazing things. And I remember being so excited about this relationship that I would be walking down the street on my way to college, on my way home, just chatting with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You want to lead me and guide me today? What is it you want to do in me? Would you show me in my heart things you want to deal with? And I remember getting onto the bus and I was so excited about talking to the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to stop, but I didn't want people to think that I was like crazy. So I said, and I hope this is okay. He's never convicted me that this was a terrible, terrible idea. But I just said, Holy Spirit, is it okay if for the next 10 minutes of this bus ride, I just call you Dave? And then I'd pick up my phone and I'd say, I'd just carry on the conversation. Oh yeah, hey Dave, how's it going? Yeah, so anyway, what were you saying? What was it that you wanted me to do today? And I'd just carry on the conversation with Dave, hoping that someone didn't accidentally phone me while I was pretending to be talking to Dave and actually talking to the Holy Spirit. And I'm not suggesting we should all start calling the Holy Spirit Dave, by the way. But it was just came out of this, like, maybe a little naive and innocent idea that, Holy Spirit, I just want to be walking and talking with you. I want a relationship with you. And it was one of the most wonderful, close, like, awareness of what the Holy Spirit wanted to say to me moment by moment that I think I've ever known. And something that in preparing for all of this and remembering this and God reminding me of this, I'm like, I want to cultivate that again, Holy Spirit. I want that relationship again. Yeah, how are you, Dave? It's been a minute. He is a person, not a force, not a feeling, not an atmosphere. We often talk about doing something in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is true, it's biblical, it's good, but I think it means the connotation can be we're kind of tapping into this power somehow and forget that doing something in the power of the Holy Spirit means to do something in relationship with the Holy Spirit, alongside and in obedience and submission to the person of the Holy Spirit. I love going for walks with my wife, Kate. It's something that we've sadly not been able to do very much of since we've been having children. Their legs are really short and stubby and they get tired and want to be carried. But before, when we were dating, when we first married, we used to go on these wonderful long walks where we would just chat and talk. And I remember when we were dating, she was living in Birmingham, and we went for a walk in the Lickey Hills, which is this beautiful rolling green countryside. There's a country park there. And Kate had been there before lots of times. She knew the way, and I'd never been. So we went for this walk, and we would just be walking and talking and chatting and just what our hopes for the future and what's God doing in us and saying to us and just connecting. But at no point did I have to stop her and say, sorry, which way do we go next? Because I knew she knew the way. And neither did she have to stop me and say, okay, actually, we're going right here. No, as we were walking and talking, she would just subtly start moving to the left or the right. And I would just stay in step with her and just move alongside with her. At no point did I have to stop and ask. I was just walking in relationship. And I'd naturally follow. And I think relating to the Holy Spirit is much the same. We're not meant to ask him, Holy Spirit, please tell me what I need to do today. Great, thanks, see ya. Go off on our way until we come to a crossroads or a dead end and go, oh, Holy Spirit, what next? We're supposed to walk with him step by step. And as he just slowly, gently, subtly starts moving to the left or the right, we just walk in step with him because we're close all the time. It says in Galatians 5:25 that if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We're not just meant to have the Holy Spirit just living in us. We're meant to walk each step, step by step, with him, knowing him, just as Jesus did. He said, I only get to say the words that the Father gives me to speak, and I only do what I see the Father doing. And it was by the Holy Spirit that he was able to do this. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. And I remember once hearing Bill Johnson, the pastor of Reading Church in California, talk about this idea of the dove coming down. Now, the Holy Spirit wasn't a dove. The Greek, it talks about in the form of a dove, a likeness of a dove. I don't know what that must have looked like. It must have been beautiful. But to see the Spirit come, and it wasn't like a dove that sat on Jesus' shoulder and cooed in his ear and said, cuckoo, go into the wilderness. You know, like it was like a dove. But Pastor Bill Johnson, he talks about this idea of how helpful it can be to imagine, what if the Holy Spirit came like a dove upon us and settled upon our shoulder? Not like a parrot in some cheesy pirate cartoon, but like a real dove. If you had suddenly a dove sat upon your shoulder, I imagine we would walk differently. We would walk aware of the dove. Yeah, that's true. And if we didn't want the dove to leave, we would not want to walk in a way that would jostle him. We'd want to be so aware of the peace that we carry, of the closeness, of the embodiment of God is resting upon me. I don't want to spook him and him fly away. And I found that so helpful. That stays with me so frequently. Sometimes I'll be whether I'm watching TV or I'm doing something, and I just get this reminder of don't jostle the dove. And maybe I'll turn that thing off, or step away, or walk away. And it's been a really helpful thing to remember. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to Pastor Bill about that. But I also want us to understand something that's important here. This Bible says that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about what that means in a few weeks' time. But if this idea of we're wanting to not walk jostling the dove, what we need to understand is we're not going to do something where, oh no, I've jostled him, I looked the wrong way, I said the wrong thing, I swore at somebody as they cut me up, or whatever it might be. Oh no, and then the dove's like, see ya. And like, please come back. Oh no, now I've got the Holy Spirit's gone, I'm never going to have him again. That is not his nature. It is not who he is. He's not easily offended and then gives us the cold shoulder. He is in us and for us because we need him. We need him to convict us that when we've done that thing, he doesn't leave. He says, whoa, Colin, I've got something better for you. Let's address that thing in your heart. He is not easily offended. And he'll stay with us and work with us. In fact, Jesus says in John 14:16 that the Holy Spirit, this wonderful friend, counselor, advocate, will be with us forever. He's the seal, the promise, the guarantee. Ephesians 1:13 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So what's he like? What does he do? Let's look at John 14:26. Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Greek word here is difficult to translate, helper. The literal Greek word is parakletos. Para meaning alongside and kletos meaning called. So it's one who's called alongside. Sometimes it's translated the comforter or the counselor. He's our encourager. He's the advocate. Like in a court when you would have an advocate who's on your side defending you. In the ancient world, if a little ship maybe was in a storm and was getting into trouble, a great big ship would come alongside it to help lead it safely back into harbour. That big ship was called a parakletos. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like that. We, like little ships bobbing about maybe in a stormy sea, have the Holy Spirit come alongside us to lead us into the truth, lead us into safety, lead us into peace. Now, I don't know what you might be going through in your life at the moment, what trials you might be facing, or if you're going through a hard time, but the Holy Spirit can draw alongside of you, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, to be your comforter, to be your encourager, to be your friend. A few years ago, I was going through a particularly difficult time. I was experiencing a lot of stress and anxiety and worry. And there was a lot going on. And I went to see a Christian counselor. He was this warm, kind, wise man who was so patient and understanding. And though I only saw him about an hour a week for about 10 weeks or so, each week I would pour out all of my troubles, all of my worries, everything that was going on in my head. And I remember the feeling when I left his house each week. I felt totally different. The problems hadn't necessarily gone away. Some of these anxieties were sometimes still there, but I felt different about them because I'd been with a wise counselor. Someone had drawn alongside me and given me a different perspective. And you don't need to go through the problems of life alone. It's an amazing difference to go through life with the parakletos, with the comforter, the advocate alongside you all the way. Let's look at John 15:26, where Jesus says, "When the counselor, that wonderful, wise counselor, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." So Jesus says he will testify about me, about Jesus. And this is what the Holy Spirit loves to do. He's kind of self-effacing. Like he loves to just point all the glory to the Father through the Son. He points to the goodness of the person of Jesus. And if you're someone who goes, well, I get the idea of God, but Jesus, I don't really understand. The Holy Spirit's job is to help us know and relate to and understand Jesus. God sent the Holy Spirit not to just be with us, but to be in us and to teach us how we are to live the life of the kingdom. And what else does he do? Well, he teaches us and helps us remember Jesus' words, John 14:26. He intercedes for us, Romans 8:27. He helps us pray. He gives us wisdom. He empowers us. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." More on that next week, by the way. He fills us with skill and ability like we talked about with Bezalel. He's the Spirit of peace and truth. He brings freedom from addiction, from spiritual prisons. He binds up the brokenhearted. Are there any amens or hallelujahs of the goodness of God in the Holy Spirit this morning? He brings praise forth from our lips and overflow from our heart. There we go. Amen. And he makes us holy. The clue is in the name, of course. But this is something really important to understand. The Holy Spirit is not just for holy people. He's to make a people holy. Throughout the Bible, there's this link between anointing and the Holy Spirit. The anointing was an oil in the Old Testament that symbolized something being set apart for service or worship for God, or set apart that the Spirit of God might fill it and use it in that way. Jesus himself said, when he quoted the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." In fact, the word Messiah means anointed. Christ is the Greek version that means anointed, the same thing. Christian means little anointed one. Because in the same way that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, in him we receive that same anointing. Not some power, not some special gifting. This word anointing is symbolic of the person of the Holy Spirit. In being receiving the same anointing of Jesus, we're receiving the same Spirit as Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And so just in the same way that in the Old Testament, something, a tool might have been anointed to be set apart for worship or for service of God, we are anointed. We have the Holy Spirit in us to set us apart, which the word is holy, make us holy or set apart for works of service, for worship or for service of God. So let's sum up then. What does the Holy Spirit do? He changes us. In Genesis, he brought the cosmos out of chaos, order out of disorder, harmony out of confusion, beauty out of deformity, newness out of oldness. And he does the same in us today. The Holy Spirit always brings new things to our lives, new attitudes, new desires, new ways of worship, new songs. Now, all of us can be nervous of change sometimes, right? Especially if we're maybe a little more conservative. And Nicky Gumbel, the pioneer of the Alpha Course, said that he'd once heard of a man who'd been a church warden in the same church for 46 years. And someone said to this man, "Over those 46 years, you must have seen so many changes." And he said, "Yes, I have. And I resisted every single one of them." But as well as being a powerful force for change, the Holy Spirit is wonderfully gentle. We talked about when he came as a dove upon Jesus. And a dove, why a dove? Why not a lion? Why not anything else? Because the form of a dove represented a peace bringer, represented gentleness, represented reconciliation. So one of the ways that the Holy Spirit changes us powerfully and yet so wonderfully gently is that he gives us a new heart. We read earlier, Ezekiel, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from your heart, remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." And I think one of the people, again, talked about in Alpha, that summed this up so well was Jackie Pullinger. She's an amazing woman. She's a missionary to Hong Kong and spent her life working with sex workers, with triad gang members and heroin addicts, and seeing the power of God's Holy Spirit transforming lives. People delivered from heroin, instead of going through these awful withdrawal symptoms for days, being set free in moments without pain in the power of the Holy Spirit as they just prayed and worshipped in tongues. And she said this. She said, "God wants to give us soft hearts and hard feet. The problem with most of us is that we have hard hearts and soft feet. And when the Spirit of God comes, he softens our hearts. He gives us compassion and gives us hard feet, a willingness to go anywhere." And she, this woman, she has got hard feet. I mean, she is a tough cookie. And she has been in tough situations. She's lived a tough life. But when she's with a prostitute or a drug addict or a gang member, she shows extraordinary compassion and loving tenderness. She has let the Holy Spirit give her a new heart. So the Holy Spirit, he transforms us, not just to feel happier or more blessed or a little bit more holy or a tingle in a worship service. He comes to bring complete newness of life to us, but also to enable us to bring that newness of life to those around us. In the Old Testament, we looked at how the Holy Spirit came upon a particular person at a particular time for a particular task. And then that promise of the Father, "I'm going to do something new." And it's going to not just be for particular people at particular times for particular tasks. It's going to be for everyone. Joel 2:28 says, "But afterwards I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters," so regardless of gender, "will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions," so regardless of age. "Even on my servants, regardless of rank, race, and background, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." And this is amazing. It is for everyone. Acts 2:38 says, "Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you," yes, you, "will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we don't need to earn him. We just repent. We come and we say, "Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I submit my life to you." And he comes. And this promise, Peter says, is for you and your children. So not just for the people who are there, but for you and your children, from generation to generation, and not just for them, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He says this promise of all things that we've been looking at today, this promise of life, of harmony, of beauty for ashes, of creativity, of newness, of strength, of freedom, of compassion, of anointing, of living water. The promise is for you and you and you and you and you and you and you. So I think we need to respond to him this morning, don't we? We're going to have this whole series talking about who he is, the baptism, the power, all of those things, all the releases. But it is my prayer today that but before any of those things, we would know him. Yes. We would know the relationship we have. Yes. It says this in 2 Corinthians 13:14, which is often used to close a service in many churches. We're going to close it this service today with these words. But this was never meant to just be words to close a service. There is a powerful truth in here, and I want you to see if you can spot it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How often have we neglected that word, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, friendship with him? Let's stand to our feet. Nick, would you mind coming up and... There was a moment I was worshiping this morning with my girls, and I was just saying to Ari, just as we were worshiping, I said, can you sense there's a change in what's happening in the room? That's God's Holy Spirit. He's wanting to do something different and something new, and he wants us to be more aware of what he wants to do. Can you sense it? And she said, no. And I said, well, maybe not yet. That's why we need to get to know him better so we can sense what he is doing. And there was something that was released when Sammy got up and he just played. I was thinking, I wish I could play the drums in time. And I might have got up there and I was like, it would be so good. And then suddenly Sammy gets up and releases something. And there's something that when Nick plays that's released because of the Holy Spirit within him. I'm like, Nick, start just whatever you want, just the Holy Spirit in you. Old MacDonald, whatever it is, you know. But there's something that's released in us, but it's not a presence. It's the person. So let's come before God, the fullness of God in his spirit this morning. When we talk about Jesus is in the room, we mean by his spirit. When we mean, oh, God is here, we mean by his spirit. Holy Spirit, where two or three are gathered, you're there in the midst. You are here, the spirit of Jesus in this room. And you're not just a presence in one place. You've been poured out on every person who's put their faith in Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are stood beside each one of us as an individual right now. You are within each of us who has given our hearts to you. And you want us to know you like you know us. And I pray right now for a fresh release of the person of the Holy Spirit and an awareness of him, what he is saying, who he is, how to relate to him. I pray over every one of us, there will be moments more and more and more and more where we're just reminded, Holy Spirit, you're with me. You're in me. We would walk aware of the dove. We would talk with you. Converse, that this would form part of this understanding of praying without ceasing is, Holy Spirit, you never cease to be with us. You want to engage with us and teach us and lead us, free us. And I pray that Jesus, there would be, just as there was through the Old Testament, an expectation growing. The promise of the Father is coming. The Spirit is coming. That there would be a growing anticipation in us, not waiting for something to come, but recognizing he has already come. But that same excitement of anticipation of there is yet more would fill us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We started today talking about loneliness, and the moment that we say, come into my life, Holy Spirit, we're never alone. I pray against the spirit of loneliness in the name of Jesus right now. pray every person who's walked with a sense of loneliness and isolation, in the name of Jesus, we want to address that in the natural. That's what the body is for. But at the same time, in the spirit, you would know God's nearness and closeness. You would know His intimate presence. In the Greek, the words that Jesus uses, in para of parakletos, means alongside and near, both physically and relationally. It speaks of nearness, of companionship. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus says to Nicodemus that to see the kingdom of God, we must be born of the Spirit. I know we're going to talk more about this next week. I want to give you an opportunity. If you're someone who wouldn't call yourself a Christian, maybe you've been hearing, as I did before I got saved, I thought the idea of there's this God out there who loves me and wants to lead me and guide me and help me and free me, that is a powerful thought. If that is you and you're thinking, I want to know if this God is real, I want to know that presence, I want to know this person, the Holy Spirit, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is calling you. The Bible says that the Spirit and the bride, that's us, the church, we're all saying, come, come, come to me. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We're coming now, not to the person of Jesus, we're coming to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of rest, of peace. Yes. And if that's you, you can do what Peter talked about in Acts. We come in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We just say, Father, Jesus, please forgive me. And all of us can pray this most ancient, simple, wonderful of prayers. Would you say this with me now? Come. Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. He's in control. He's in control of this meeting. He can do whatever He wants and needs to do right now. There's healing in this room right now. There is freedom. There is ministry. There's some people, He's just speaking to you about someone you've needed to forgive for a long time and have just felt like, how could I possibly do it? And the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that in Him you are able, because you never so touch the ocean of God's love than in forgiveness for another. And this Holy Spirit, streams of water, streams of loving forgiveness through you, wants to release them through you. He releases us from prison doors. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm so excited for what God wants to do this afternoon through the Wototo Choir being here. I just want to pray all of you guys who are here and any of the guys who aren't here who are going to be there tonight, I just pray for a fresh release of the Holy Spirit upon each of you to minister the Spirit of God, of salvation, of freedom, of His goodness. Just as He came along upon Bezalel, that artistic inspiration afresh over each of you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I kind of don't want to finish, but I'm reminded that the Holy Spirit is saying, but it's not about a meeting. It's not about a special holy time. It's the whole point. I don't stay here when you go home, waiting for you to come to the next encounter night. Oh, great, they're back. We can hang out again. He lives within us. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know, we've been covering some really fundamental truth this morning, but I hope it's blessed you. It has blessed me so much just going over this fundamental stuff. But thank you, Jesus. And if you're thinking, do you know what, I would really benefit from going over some more of these fundamental truths, who am I in Christ and how do I know him better, all those kind of things. Pastor Clive's been talking about DNA. We haven't got time to go into more details of what that is all about. You've heard a bit about it. There'll be more coming up in the coming weeks. But if you'd like to express interest in that, tell me more. I'd like to know more. You can sign up at the info point today. And we're going to do something, as I said, that many churches do across the nation that can maybe sometimes become just a bit of religious expressions, just something we do. But today, I want us to see if we can say this with such conviction and heart, genuine hearts, full of faith of these truths, that this morning we say to one another, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.